The views you are about to hear are the personal views of Kira Lawrence and her guests. They are not necessarily views that are shared by the organisations to which Kira is associated.
You're listening to Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod.
Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod.
So, hi everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod. Wow, today I have such an amazing guest, someone who I look up to, someone who I watched on TV as a kid. I see her on so many shows. I love her. She is the TV legend queen, Lorraine Kelly. So welcome, Lorraine.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me to be on your podcast. It's lovely. I feel as if I should have pink on, though. I should have put pink sparkles on. Just imagine that I've got them on.
Okay, we'll imagine. It's official. Today, I'm unveiling my lovely podcast mug. I got this made up and I've ordered some more that I can send to guests in the future. So here it is, the official Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod mug. So I also have pens with the logo on as well. So I will be sending one to you as a thank you afterwards, Lorraine. So look out for your mug and pen coming soon.
Excellent.
Lovely. Lorraine, please can you tell me all about you and all about your wonderful career?
Gosh, well, I'm very, very lucky because next year will be 40 years in breakfast television. I started off in local newspapers. Then I went to the BBC as a researcher, and then I joined TVAM. I joined TVAM in 1984 as the Scottish correspondent. So yeah, I've been doing this for ever such a long time, and it's been great because do you know what? Every day is different. You know, every single day is different. So, and we make a plan every day, and sometimes that plan, I mean, you know, you've been on the show. Yeah. Sadly, I wasn't there, but you got talking to lovely Christine, didn't you?
I did, yeah, but I did miss you. I was thinking of you. Aww. So, yes, it was honestly, it was such a lovely opportunity. I got to talk about my life as someone with a learning disability and what that means for me. I talked about my podcast and talked about some of the wonderful guests that I've had on it so far, like Rob Brydon, Jeremy Vine, Krishnan Gurumurthy. I've had some amazing guests so far, including obviously you, Lorraine. So, yeah, I've been very, very lucky. So, yeah, she was lovely. Christine, we've got to say, was very lovely. She really put me at ease. She really welcomed me in. She made me feel really comfortable. And the research team there were so lovely. They were really welcoming. They went through everything that would happen with me. They really made me feel comfortable. So from start to finish, I had a wonderful interview opportunity, Lorraine. The same day as me, the other guests were Nick Grimshaw and lovely Alan Titchmarsh. So because I have a rose plant in my garden, and so I quickly asked him some tips about looking after my rose plant. So I got pro knowledge.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Take advantage.
Exactly.
Too right. No, it's exactly. Lovely to hear that. It's lovely to hear that because we do want our guests to feel, you know, to feel relaxed. It's not an easy thing coming on live television. Yeah. It really isn't. It can be a bit, I mean, you know, when I'm a guest, if I've ever been a guest on like The One Show or This Morning or whatever it may be, it's good for me to do that because I, you know, it's quite nerve-wracking as, you know, that's completely understandable. But we try and make it as painless as possible. So and my team are wonderful. I mean, I've got a small team compared with a lot of other shows, but they are incredible and everybody is very committed and we all just want to make the best show that we can. And like I say, every day is different. You know, some days you're doing something very, very serious and you know, and very important. But mixed with that, you know, you're talking to fantastic people who've done amazing things, and then you might be talking about fashion and showbiz and life, really, because it's you know, it's that. It's all about life. And I was so glad that you were able to come on, because I think, and I know you feel this too, there's a sort of misconception about people who may have learning difficulties. And, you know, oftentimes people with learning difficulties are very patronised, or they're not given the opportunity to recognise their full potential. And that's terribly sad, which is why what you're doing is so important.
Yes, definitely. So we class dyslexia as learning difficulty, but learning disability is actually slightly different because it's lifelong. There's no cure with learning disability. You can't take medicine for learning disability. You can't take a tablet for learning disability. It's with you your whole entire life. So dyslexia, we say, is more when people find reading and writing difficult, whereas people with learning disabilities, it ranges from mild, so some people like me have a mild learning disability, to people who have profound and multiple learning disabilities. So it's a really big kind of umbrella scale. So I'm here to represent those people with a learning disability like me who aren't heard, they're not seen, they're not asked for their views. And so for me, it's really important to come on shows like yours and say, actually, this is what a learning disability is. This is this is the support someone needs to achieve a lot in their life like I have. So I'm now married. I live in my own home. I have a 22-year career here at Charity Mencap. So welcome to our office. And, you know, I've achieved a lot, but I've had to face bullying. I've had to face discrimination myself, and I've had to face horrible things to get to where I am now. And actually, it's really important to me. I go on radio, I go on the telly and say, actually, look at me. You know, I'm achieving, and actually there are 1.5 million people in the UK with a learning disability who are not as lucky as me. They are they don't have the voice that I have. I'm lucky I have my platform and I can speak out, but actually there are lots like me who can't even speak out or don't have that voice. And so it's really important that the media have me on so that I can dispel all the nasty big rumours and say, actually, this is what a learning disability is, this is what it isn't, and this is what we class as, and this is what we don't class as. So people really understand what it's like to have a learning disability. Yeah. So that's why it's important to me.
No, absolutely. Of course it is. And the thing is, you said a lot of people, I mean, over a million people not having a voice. Well, you give them that.
Yeah.
And that is really, really important, because unless you've got somebody in your family that's maybe struggling or in whatever way, or you know someone, it's hard to appreciate it, isn't it? And you talked about being bullied and things like that. And that's very common. And that's ignorant, of course, and cruel. But the more times you do what you do, it might be little baby steps, but it makes all the difference.
Yeah. And can I just say, I really liked the interview you did with Otto Baxter recently. That was an amazing interview.
It was lovely.
And obviously, Tommy Jessup has also been on Lorraine recently. So actually, you've had some really amazing people with a learning disability represented on your show. So thank you for giving people like me, like them, a voice.
But the thing about that was, you know, I just talked to them. They are they are actors on a show who happen to have a disability. I mean, it's it's not what defines them.
Nope.
It's part of who they are. It's very much part of who they are, but it's not what defines them. You know, I've, in the same way that I would talk to any actor, any director, or writer about their work, it's exactly the same, isn't it? You know, again, it's that thing of, as you say, it's all about getting visibility, because you can, you know, you know that watching you certainly, and watching them too, there'll be young men and women sitting at home going, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Mm. Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know. Actually, those barriers aren't there. And I think that's really, that's what it's all about, isn't it? So important.
It is. It's really important. And so, back in the COVID pandemic, sadly, voices like mine were lost. We were forgotten in the pandemic. We were put on the back burner. And so for ages during the COVID pandemic, I was like, where is our voice? I'm not hearing our voice anymore. Like, we seem to have been forgotten. So I decided to start up a podcast. Like people took up gardening or baking or whatever it was they took up, I took up a podcast. And so I went on Spotify and I was like, there aren't many podcasts about learning disability out there hosted by people with learning disabilities. So I was like, right, this is my chance. I'm going to create a podcast. It's going to have the message of learning disability and how brilliant people like me are. And I'm going to get guests on. I'm going to interview them. I'm also going to make sure that they go away saying that they've met me and they know about learning disabilities. That was kind of the message that I wanted to get from it. But also, I wanted to learn about other people as well. I wanted to know about other people and their life too. So it kind of has, over the last 2 years, my podcast has gone from just doing interviews, just chatting, to actually tell me about you, tell me about your life. I know you grew up in Scotland, so tell me a little bit about your life in Scotland growing up.
Well, my mum and dad were very young when they got married, and they were about, I think they were about 17, actually. And mum was just about 18 when she had me. And we lived in a place in Glasgow called the Gorbals, which is, you don't know at the time, but, you know, it was pretty rough. It was, you know, it was poor. And then we moved to Bridgeton, East End. And then from there, when I was about, I think I must have been about 12 or 13, we moved to East Kilbride, which is like a new town, a bit like Milton Keynes.
Okay.
Very new house. It was very exciting. So we were going from basically living in two rooms, you know, like a living room and a bedroom, where me, my brother, my mum and dad all slept in the same room. I mean, now you think, what? But actually back then it was, you know, that's what you did. I had my own room, which was amazing. It was strange because I had so many really good friends. But back then, of course, we didn't have anything like the internet. I mean, people weren't even on the phone. We did have a phone in our house in East Kilbride, but we didn't have anybody to phone because nobody else had a phone. So that was a bit strange. After I left school, I got a job in the local newspaper in the East Kilbride News, which was... yeah, it was great. And I realised that that's what I wanted to do. And then, like I was saying to you, I got the job as a correspondent for TVAM and I covered Scotland. Some amazing stories, got some brilliant parts of Scotland, but also some really difficult stories as well. In fact, just the weekend there, I was up in Lockerbie doing a documentary about the terrible, terrible terrorist air disaster there, which was 35 years ago. So, and I was one of the first reporters on this scene. So it's kind of like going round in a circle, you know. Mm. And then I came down to London and got this amazing job sitting on a sofa chatting to people. Yeah. And I just loved it. And the thing that I've always said is I treat everybody exactly the same.
Yeah.
I don't care if you are, you know, the emperor of whatever or you're somebody homeless. You've all got a story. You know, you've all got something to say.
Yeah.
And I do always say that about homeless people. You do not know their story.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk past somebody that's sitting outside a shop, maybe with their wee dog, and they're sitting there, you don't know how they got there. And you don't know what led them to be there and how easy it is to be there. So I've always had this thing of everybody's the same. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me what religion you are, how old you are, how young you are. You know, your abilities, your disabilities, I don't care, because we're all the same. At the end of the day, we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I think if that's one of the things that I would love more, for everybody just to treat each other the same and also with kindness, because you talked about COVID very eloquently there and how difficult it was. And I think COVID in many ways was a great leveller.
Yeah.
You know, it really was, and made us all realise that we are all just the same, and in some ways that, you know, we should take that away from it. But it was tough. I mean, it must have been really tough for you.
Yeah.
Were you finding yourself, you were kind of stuck indoors, or were you able to get out? How was it?
It was really hard. Like, I worked the first 2 or 3 weeks of COVID, I worked, But then I was then furloughed from my job for 3 months. So again, that was a new challenge. That was really hard. That was really awful because my husband, Mark, works at Royal Mail. So he was a key worker. He was deemed key worker. So he went to work every day while I sat on the sofa in my PJs crying over a mug of tea going, I can't work. This is really unfair. And so then I started kind of working voluntarily with some local charities because they told me that I could do volunteer work. So I got involved in some local charities and I did some local voluntary charity work just to keep my skills going, to meet new people, to have that opportunity. And that went really well. So that kept me going. It kept my brain focused. So that helped. And then I started up my podcast. So again, another new project. And then I was halfway through starting to get my podcast up to a good level. And then Menkat rang and were like, we want you to come back now, please. And I was okay. And honestly, because I've started all these amazing things, I was kind of like, now I'm going to have to kind of like go back to normal. And kind of that was lovely. But then I was like, now I've got to ditch the volunteer work. Now I've got to stop doing other things. But actually, it was so important to me to get back to my job and to get back to being the voice of people. And that, do you know what, actually, having that taken away from me for those 3 months, it actually gave me the fire when I came back to go, do you know what? I might moan about commuting. I might moan about having stayed late on in the evening, but actually I really missed it. I really missed my work. I'm missing my workmates. I'm missing people. So when I came back, it actually gave me the fire again to do what I do. So in a way, even though the first half of the 3 months is a bit rubbish, actually it ended on a positive. So,
which is good. No, that's really good. I mean, I was lucky. Oh, here's Ruby. Here's this is Ruby.
Oh, hi, Ruby. I've seen you on Instagram. Hi.
You'd be a good girl. That's a good girl. You just like to go for me. She's very tired. She's been out for a walk, so she's just very tired.
Her. Go
for a
sleep. Bless her.
Good girl. She's very silly. Very silly.
Dina, I love your Instagram account. I follow you on Instagram and thank you for messaging me back on Instagram.
It's just dogs.
It's just dogs.
It's so, just all dogs, isn't it? It's pictures of dogs, pictures of Angus.
Yeah.
Pictures of Ruby, because Angus is obviously my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. And Ruby's great. She's my daughter's wee dog, but I look after her whenever I can.
Definitely.
Babysit whenever I can. It is great. Honestly, dogs just, you know, when you come in after you, and you might only have been away for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been at work and you come home and, you know, you get this amazing welcome from them. I mean, they're never left on their own. Yeah. There's always somebody in.
Yeah.
But you get this great welcome from them and it's like, yay! Makes
I know.
You feel better. Makes you feel loved.
I know. I used to have a pet hamster called Teddy. And when we used to go on holidays, one of my neighbours took care of him. And so the day when we used to come back and I used to go collect him from the neighbour, for the first day he'd be like, I'm not playing with you. No. You've abandoned me, pal. Like the first day he's a bit like, no.
Oh, they can do that.
But the second day he was like, I do love my mummy, I promise. So I was like, it's always that first day of, no, you walked away, mate. No. But now you're back, aren't you? You're back. So unfortunately my hamster died in COVID, but he was lovely.
Okay, no, they're lovely too.
But it's lovely actually because, you know, I've had other projects since, like my podcast, and I've had my work going on. I'm also a patron of 2 disability charities outside Menkat, outside my own career. So I'm very busy with them, helping get their work out and things like that. I'm also a very proud ambassador of 3 gynae cancer charities. One is called Joe's Cervical Cancer Trust. You probably might have heard of Joe's. I'm also an ambassador of the Eve Appeal. You might have heard of Eve.
Oh, very much. So it's a cracking organisation. Yeah. They do great work for a cancer that's very much forgotten about sometimes, or misdiagnosed, or you can't diagnose it at all. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. And I've just been recently made an ambassador of a third gyno cancer charity locally in my area, sorry. So I'm very proud of that. And I'm going to be starting some work with them soon. So, yeah.
That's great. Good for you. It is really important, don't you think, to give something back. If you've been lucky enough to be in a position where, you know, you can help people.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Because I always think that you get more out of helping people oftentimes than they do from being helped, if you know what I mean. You know, because you get that feeling as of at least you've tried your best and you've tried to make a bit of a difference. And, you know, you're in a position you can do that. And I'm in a position I can do that. And it's important. You should.
Yeah.
Of course you should.
Yeah, definitely. And sadly, the reason why I wanted to work with cancer charities, because sadly, I lost my cousin at the age of 48 to cancer, and that's no age at all. She got diagnosed, she got very ill, and in the end, sadly, she passed away 2 days before Christmas in 2018. And so for me, I saw her battle. I saw her going through her treatment, and I really want to spread the message. And I love Dr. Hillary because he tells the truth. It is so important to go and get checked. I cannot say that enough.
Yeah.
So part of my ambassador role with those charities is to go and tell women to go and get checked. So, you know, go and have breast screening, go and have your smear test. You know, if you feel something's not normal, go and get tested, go and get checked. And so a part of my ambassador role is all about telling women with a learning disability about gyno cancer awareness, but also I get to spread the message for those charities of go and get checked, go and get tested. It's really important to know you're normal. So I'm really proud to be an ambassador for those charities.
That's great.
Yeah, because I've seen for years, you know, celebrities, you know, talk about being ambassadors of charities. So I was like, well, if they can be an ambassador for a charity, so can I. So, I got in touch with them and I've got offered ambassador roles, which is amazing. So again, I use my podcast to help them as well, to raise awareness. So I'm very busy at the moment. I've got lots of podcasts in the making, so I'm very excited about them. Like MenCap, we're a wonderful charity. We're the UK's learning disability charity. I've worked at MenCap for 22 years, so I've been here a very long time. So my job is all about making sure people with like me with a learning disability are included in MenCap's work. So I'm a very busy woman here at MenCap. And so now I don't know if this is cheeky or if I don't know whether this is the right place to ask. But I would love to come back on your show if it's possible.
Sure, yeah, of course. Absolutely, we'll make that happen. I mean, it's, you know, because you were so good. You were so, so good and so interesting and, you know, informative and also so, such a great talker. You know, you shone a light on something that we should do more of, you know, that's the thing. You need to do that, and that I see that very much as what we try to do on the show. Of course, we're there to entertain people, we're there to have fun, you know, we're there to hopefully make people smile. And but as well as that, you know, we do like to do campaigns. You know, again, you know, you were talking there about making sure you check, you know, yourself. You know, you have to take some responsibility for your own body, and we've done lots of campaigns, especially you know, the Change and Check campaign for breast cancer. We've done campaigns for testicular cancer with men, because men are hopeless at that.
Yeah.
They need to be, you know, they're getting better, they're getting better, but still there's work to be done. And it's really, really important, especially things like ovarian cancer and all of that. You're trying to get the message across is vital. And we know that every time we do that, you know, people's lives are saved. Like, you know, we had a brilliant campaign with Deborah. She was amazing. Our Debs and you know, Dame Deborah, she was. I still can't believe that she's not with us anymore. It's a year, which is astonishing. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But yeah, you know, getting people, you know, nobody likes to talk about bills and all that malarkey. And
but it's important. So silly about it's important, it, isn't it?
It is, and it's all about breaking down barriers, you know, and that's very much what you do. You know, it's very much what you do. You're breaking down barriers, you're increasing people's understanding. And that is probably the best thing that anybody can ever do, you know, just to bring a bit of light to something. And that's tremendous. We would have you back. We'll need to sort that out.
Yeah, can I come back on your show? Is that a yes?
Yeah, we'll sort that out for you. No worries.
That is on record that you said yes. That's amazing. Brilliant.
You've got the proof.
I'm coming back. I will be back on your show. I would love to have an interview with you this time and do the whole Lorraine thing. That would be amazing.
Definitely.
Okay, let's get that sorted. Okay. So... anything else? Oh, how was your holiday?
Oh, my goodness, it was lovely. I didn't know that I was going to get to go because my mum's not been too well, but she's actually really rallied. My baby brother, who lives in Singapore, has come over to see my mum. He came over about a month and a half ago, and he's been just the best medicine that you could ever get. Because I do think that, of course, medication is vital, but just making sure your spirits are good as well, they go hand in hand. So he's been great. So I managed to get to Zimbabwe.
Me and my husband went
camping. Yeah, we went camping. We like to do that. We've been doing that for a few years now. We've been to Namibia camping in Botswana and Zambia, and it's great because you just hire a truck, just the both of us, nobody else. You put your tent up on top of the roof of the of the jeep. And you sleep there and it's fantastic. I mean, you get a bit grubby, I'll be honest. You do. But that's all right. It's only the two of us, so it doesn't matter. And we just giggled our heads off and saw the most amazing, amazing animals. And it's a beautiful, beautiful country. Like most countries, sadly, in Africa, struggling a bit. But the resilience of the people, remarkable. And yeah, we're definitely going to go back. It'll be lovely. But it's good to be back. Good to be back at work. Good, good to be back with the gang. Because they are like my second family.
That's like they really are.
Yes, don't you find that? It's like you've got two families. You've got your family and your friends. Yes. And then you've got your work family and friends. And when you've been somewhere that you've been, like me, you've been a long time in your job. You know, I've seen people that have started with me when they've been in their early 20s. And now they've got babies of their own. And it's wonderful, you know.
I know. So far on your show, who has been the best guest you've interviewed? Like, who's been up there?
That's really hard. I think, to be honest with you, for me, the person who, of all the kind of really hyper, hyper famous people, Hugh Jackman is wonderful. Because Hugh Jackman has got perfect manners. His lovely British mother installed perfect manners in her son. And he makes it very easy for everyone. He's always very charming and polite. But one of the highlights, I think, and funnily enough, it was during COVID, I had to interview George Clooney, but from my house. He was in his house because I live not that far away from where he is in Sony. In Buckinghamshire, and he was in his house, I was in my house, and it was my birthday that day, and he sang me happy birthday. Oh, Cara, that's what you want. That was unforgettable and a delight, and really nice. And to be honest, most people who come on are lovely, very, very seldom. And I always think if somebody's a bit grumpy or a bit difficult, I always think, okay, they're probably a little bit nervous.
Yeah,
and maybe they're going through, nobody knows what anybody's going through, do they? You never know. So I always give them the benefit of the doubt. But if I meet them again and they're exactly the same, I think, yes, actually, you are just grumpy. I understand.
Yeah,
I think you always have to sort of put yourself in their shoes, you know, and see how, and yeah, give them the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, those two men were amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay. And actually, it's my birthday next week. So,
this 21st. Happy 21st, Cara.
Thank you. Yeah. I will be 4+4.
Oh, you're but a child. You're but a child. You have a great time. Enjoy. Enjoy every minute.
I'm like, I may be 44, but I've still got the spirit of a 21-year-old.
Exactly. That's how I feel. Because people say, I always say, look, I'm 63 now. And I think, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I still don't feel grown up. And that's good. Nobody should feel grown up. Don't ever. Be young.
Yeah, my birthday's on the 21st of September. So I would love if you could do like a little post on that day on Twitter. That would make my day. That would be really lovely.
Of course.
Thank you. Yes, that would be lovely.
No problem.
I'll wake up on my birthday morning and hope to have a message from Lorraine. That would be a dream.
Of course. No problem at all.
Brilliant. So thank you so much for coming and being on my podcast. You don't know how much this has meant. It's a dream come true. I've loved having you on. And I can't wait to come back on your show. Let's get that booked.
We absolutely will. And thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Lovely to talk to you. You keep up the good work.
Thank you. And your mug and pen are coming.
Woohoo! Fantastic. I need to send you a Lorraine mug as well. Because that's a cracker. Thank you, my lamb. Great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cara. Cheers.
And
bye-bye. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Yes.
Cheers.
It was all put together by James Phillips for It's That Friday 3, and you can hear our show every single Friday from 3 till 5, only on Surrey Hills Community Radio. So check us out, tell your friends, we'll see you soon!